Shall we turn in our Bibles to the 11th chapter of Hebrews? 11th chapter of Hebrews. I believe that most of the time we look at the scriptures and find it perhaps the most difficult book to look at. And yet I believe it must be the most simple book to give us, because God gives his word, but if we read and trust, we even sing that, we didn't sing it right now, but trust and obey, and there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And that's when we open the scriptures, and it's all very simple actually, but we can make it very complicated. And I must tell you right now, before I get any further, that the older I get, the richer the scriptures get to me, the greater it is to see this is what God says, this is what he means, and I can trust it, and I don't have to worry. We can say that, better to pray than to worry, and so on. But nevertheless, we come in contact with something, or rather we are in contact with someone that gives us a hard time sometimes. Do you know who that someone is? Well, it's you for yourself, 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 and I for myself. And that's just simply the way. But the tricky part of it is, we don't always realize that that's the case. We sit there and how come? Well, God is gracious and he's loving and kind, and so he gives us something very simple. Now, we have, since we've been here, we've talked about faith once in relation to Moses, that was the last time, and we've talked a little bit about faith in relation to Samson on Sunday evening, and it all comes down to one thing. See, do we expect something from God, or do we expect that we're going to do something? If we expect something from God, then we can be sure that God works out whatever is needed. If we expect something from ourselves, then I have come to the conclusion, at least for myself, and everybody can come to his own conclusion, because you can't decide for anybody else. And sometimes you would like to, you'd like to really help somebody. So, you see this? No. And then people don't see that. Don't say that. If you say, do you see this? Yes. No, you didn't see it yet. Because we say seeing is believing. And it's all about believing. So faith is a matter of believing, very simple, but we don't take it that simple. It is, I don't think that God is trying to give us his word so that we can't read it or that we can't understand it. I think God has given us his word so that we can understand it. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't can understand the whole Bible at once, but every time, and I'm giving a little bit of an introduction here, you realize that, but I read a story once about about a lady in, it's one of the countries, see if I can get some help from my right hand.
Laos.
Country way far away from us. A lady, and she could not read. And somehow somebody had given her a Bible in her language. And she had children. Now, I'm not sure how many she had, but I thought at least six. And she got her children, one after another, throughout the day, that is, to read an hour out of the scriptures for her. And so she had done this for quite a while, go right through the scriptures. So she started at Genesis and she read through the Bible, listening rather to the children that would read. So that's fine. So finally, at a certain time, there's a missionary comes by and he talks with her and he says, well, don't you find, I'm just taking a book now, Don't you find Leviticus a difficult book? Oh, no, she said, it's beautiful, all about the blood, all about salvation, all about the Lord Jesus. No, I find a lovely book. So he went through some other books. Don't you find this? Oh, no. And she gave more understanding finally when he got the revelation. Don't you find that difficult? Oh, no, she said, that's really... She had more understanding than a lot of others that had really studied. What she took it? By these words that we read often here, and it's by faith. And it's so simple when you take the things by faith. I don't understand anything. But when you take it by faith and ask the Lord, His promises are sure. And I think sometimes we don't expect too much from His promises. I believe that's one of the problems that is generally in Christianity. I'm not taking everything down or anything like that. It's just a point I'd like to make so that your life with the Lord Jesus will be new, so that it will be ever new, not just that you say, now I should know that continually you see the life with the Lord Jesus is great. It is what you need. It is what builds you up. It is what keeps you going. It is what gives you the life itself. And so that is the idea from the Word of God. So we'll read here some, and that is chapter 11. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So it's about faith. So this is a chapter of faith. And faith is what stands under. It's the power that it holds up. It gives you the light. Okay? So by faith, you go to God in prayer. You tell Him everything that's bothering you, helping you, that you enjoy, tell Him everything. Why? I think often we think of prayer as something that, we'll tell the Lord, but we don't expect anything afterwards, you know. Well, that doesn't make too much sense really, but that's the way, see, we have two things. One is a life with the Lord, and the other one is religion. We would say there are many religions. No, there's just one other one. It's all away from the Lord. Whether it's this religion, that religion, or another religion, it's all one religion. It's one or the other. It's the Lord Jesus, or it's another religion. And it's just simply religion. And religion don't get you anywhere, you know. It doesn't give you peace. It doesn't give you strength. It doesn't give you any answers. So here are the answers. The Lord has the answers. Now, whatever you need in life, the Lord likes to be a part of that in your life. So he just wants to be one with you and me. You tell Him all your troubles, tell Him all your blessings. It is one life. It's not... I'll have to take that to God. Sometimes people say, well, I'll have to pray about that. Well, the Lord has already heard it, I thought, you know. And it's not a God far away. He is with you. If we ask the kids, where's the Lord Jesus? Well, He's in my heart. Yeah. And when we get a little bigger, apparently He's not there anymore. Because for some reason or another, we don't trust that He's going to take care of things. And, you know, we can't say anything else, but over the years we've seen so much that God has taken care continually. And then I can only be ashamed and say, oh God, I didn't listen very well there. I didn't tell you everything there. And, you know, but also those things, tell them. Tell them. Whatever bothers you, tell them. You can tell me, but I can't do anything about it. I can pray for you there, but I can't do anything about it. But the Lord, He's got the answer. Not only can he do something about it, he has got the answer. Okay, we better get on because it's going to be midnight. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, if you stop there for a moment, you start reading in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And you read these things. And then God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light. Very, very simple, isn't it? God says, there be light. Well, now I can say there be light, but that doesn't do anything. But when God says, let there be light, there's light. And now we have electricity here, so we've got lamps and that light. But think of it. That took quite a bit of work for an electrician to get that all so arranged. But God only had to speak. And I'm wondering, are we really under the impression of who God is? That he speaks and it is wrong. There's no questions, there's no if, buts, or ands. No, God speaks and is there. And he just simply said, that, let there be light. And there was light, and the light was, and God saw. I didn't see it then yet because I wasn't there. But God saw that the light was good. Ah. And if you read that first chapter of Genesis by faith, because you weren't there, you haven't seen it, but when you see that by faith, you see all those things before you happening. There he made the earth, and then he, oh. I don't know what that little bug would have been called at the beginning, but somewhere along the line, that bug that walked around there too. And it's a battle for us. And somewhere, if you ever hear the story of Audie and her lion, then that's really something, you know, it's really something. She was a whole night, there was a lion, right? You know, now in the beginning, that lion, she could have rode on him, but, you know, she wasn't there then, and the lion wasn't quite like that. So, you see, God made all this. And, you know, when we get a little bit further in life and so on, then we're going to have the time. When the lion, we have even a big, what is it? It's a little piece of carpet, actually, and hanging on the wall. And on there is the big lion laying there, and it's a lamb laying with it. And, you know, that'll be the time when the lion and the lamb, they're together. Wonderful, isn't it? And God has created it that way. He didn't make it so that everything, one would eat the other. No. And that's the way. God has made it peaceful. And so God still wants that in our lives. He comes, the Lord Jesus has come to give us peace. He has made peace, he says in Colossians. He said, he has made peace through the blood of the cross. Peace. Do you know that peace in your heart? Here's peace in his heart. God wants that to be full of peace. And what loveliness there is in our Lord Jesus, that he has come to the cross to bring us peace. But, you know, it's a tremendous thing. Because now, anyway, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Well, we don't understand a word of that. Because whatever you have made in your life, you've never made this. You've never made anything out of nothing. God does that. And so I'm here full of trouble and worrying about this, that, and other thing. Why? Well, I'm thinking about this got to be done and got to do it this way. And if I don't, does it do any good? No. I remember years gone by that we didn't have finances when we were in Bible school. And can I get them from somewhere? Can I take them, dear knows where out? No. But God can. God can. See, this, we have a God of the impossible. And no doubt you're praying for a whole area, for people, for loved ones, and so on. Can I change them? No. No. I can change them for the worse, but not for the better. I've never changed anybody for the better. But God can. God is able to bring us through. And that's his plan. That's what he wants. That's the thing that he's planning. And that's why the Lord Jesus has come. Now, you can't say that the Lord Jesus came for nothing. The Lord Jesus has come to save us and set us free. What's he have to set us free from? Well, we could say from sin, but even that's a step away. To be saved of myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be free in thee. That's the real freedom, to be saved from myself. That's the worst first person I ever met. And so, no crown for him for a while. Which are seen were not made of things which appear. And then you get the story of Abel. And here is man is doing good, and what happens to him? Well, his brother says, better get rid of him. He shows off. You know, he gets everything, and I look at me. You know, so I'm not going to speak on Abel of Cain right now, but at the same time, just think of Cain for a minute, that he is the one that feels sorry for self. I'm sure that it must be some time or another that you felt sorry for self. And oh, poor me, poor me, poor me. Oh, tears, you know, poor me. Do you ever feel sorry? Well, you wouldn't tell anyway, even if I asked point blank. But some time or another, we feel sorry for self. Well, who else would we feel sorry for just like that? Well, only for self. Now, does that do any good? No. We'd be better off to just simply go to the Lord and say, Lord, here am I again. Now, here's the highlight of this piece here. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And there he goes, boom, gone. He says, so I would like that, away from it all. You know, all my problems solved. Wouldn't that be something? Well, it could be that we get up in the rapture. I may get my own rapture before this is for a little bit. Anyway, is it our last visit here for these days? But it could be that you get your own rapture or I get my own rapture. But it is also possible that, boom, we go all together. And there went Enoch. It must have been something. My wife has a real good story on that one. She was teaching the children one time that Enoch had gone away, and so you can imagine when somebody does not come home. So some night, you know, the Enoch has been away, and there he doesn't come home. Doesn't come home for supper. He doesn't come home a little bit later. He doesn't. So my wife says, well, they took the dog and went looking for him, but they couldn't find him. So the boys have a great charge out of the dog story, of course, but we didn't find the dog here in the scriptures. But you never know what people add to the scriptures, you know, sometimes. So we've got to be very careful in those things. And but nevertheless. So all of a sudden, gone, just like that, gone. But if Enoch could be gone just like that, then we have a song that says, gone, 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 all my sins are gone. Hey, if Enoch can be gone like that, my sins can be gone like that. Huh? It's maybe a little different thought, but I'll tell you, and that's what I look for. Now, so now we get a warning here, so we're going to take that one in, and then we have another look. But without faith, it is impossible. So here we really get the emphasis, what it's all about. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So there is, without faith, impossible. But with faith, it is possible. Hey, let's take that more definite one, eh? And so without faith, it is impossible to please him. But with faith, so just supposing that God is looking at us, and he is. Mm-hmm. And he is. Don't be too surprised, but he is. You see, isn't it something that there is someone that knows your thought life? If you don't know the Lord, that must be kind of an anxious moment to think that somebody knows what you're thinking. I wouldn't want anybody to know what I'm thinking sometimes. Do you? No, not either. So there's a very quiet but a very sincere no. No, I don't want anybody to know what I'm thinking. And at the same time, God knows your every thought. There's not a thing that's hid from him. It's, at the same time, it's almost unbelievable. See, one of the things is when you look at God, it's almost unbelievable. Almost, eh? Almost. It's absolutely believable. But when you start thinking that someone knows every thought. Not does he know every thought, not alone does he know that, but he knows it ahead of time. When you haven't thought about anything yet, and there comes this creepy crawler, and he comes in, and he tells you, oh no. And God is there. And God wants to need not only enlighten you, but he wants to lighten your load. I enjoy that piece. Let's just go there for a moment to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1. There's a tremendous book. I would like to take the time to teach it, the whole book, but that will take me at least a year, so... We don't know what the Lord has in mind with all these things. But anyway, in Colossians chapter 1, I am going to read at verse 9. And for this cause, because you see they're long sentences. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's a mouthful, isn't it? But that's the delight. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Years ago, when we started in the Netherlands, there was a man there, and he told different ones. He said, I started teaching the book of Colossians. And he said, God taught me to read the scriptures. Now that's a simple thing, isn't it? My father was, that you heard that, he was principal of a school, and he taught to read. And reading meant word for word. Make it clear, speak it well, and be clear on it. And word for word. So this man started reading the scriptures, and he'd been a believer for some time, but he said, now I've learned to read the word. So you go word for word, okay? So that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. This is quite a lot, isn't it, in these couple of verses here. Now then we get to, it's wonderful sometimes who God shows you first what he gives you, and then what you were, or came out of. Now, that's what I like about this. So, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And here it comes. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, this is the picture. It's kind of nice when you have another language, like, for instance, in the Netherlands, you, in Dutch, you read that just little bit different, but it gives the same thing. Here am I, and here was I. There's a real deep pit. I'm in the bottom of that pit. And in the bottom of that pit, it's all mud. Now, I don't know if you ever walked through in mud. And you know what happens? You have one foot in the mud, and you pull that up, and you come like this, you know, and you try to lift that one leg up. And while you're doing it, the other one goes that much deeper in the pit. So how are you going to get out? Well, there's just no hope of getting out. Now here comes the arm of the Lord, and he goes way into that pit, and he takes me out of there, and he pulls up, and he pulls, 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 and he pulls some more, and finally he got me out. That's not the end of it. That's not the end of it. Then he cleans off, he washes in the blood, all clean, and then puts me and places me over in the kingdom of his dear son. Follow me? That's what God has done through the blood of his son, through the life of his son, through the cross of his son. That's the working of the Spirit of God. And now he has done that. If he has done all of that, is there anything else that he wouldn't do? See, that's the point we're making here. This is a tremendous verse, because when we read these verses before that, we see where God is going, and then we come to that point, you know, we were in that pit. We were in that pit. And there was no hope of getting out. And there God is. He rolled up his sleeve, as it were. And there he goes. I believe there's a lot of people that maybe come to that point, but they need to be washed in the blood. The blood. Cleansing. This cleansing power. You know, clean. Do you like to be clean? I mean clean. So there's nothing left there. Nothing left there. Oh, God is so good, isn't he? And then the place he gives you. The place, let me give you that at the same time. That's given so nicely here in the second chapter of Ephesians. Can you look at that at the same time? Maybe we'll get back to the other one. But here, for this is all by faith. We talked about faith, and this is all by faith. We believe this because we believe God. See? And in Ephesians chapter 2, we get these words. Now, it gives us in beginning the same thing, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all, I like that, we all, not that I like the place we all had, but the fact that wherever I go, wherever I've been, wherever I've been able to preach the gospel, that I never have to worry if there's one that doesn't fit in there. Everyone fits in there. And you know, I've preached in jail, and I've enjoyed that. Why? Because you've got the captive audience. And, you know, wherever you always have the same here, all, we all. Now, here he says, so among us whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And the mind, I can keep busy. The mind that rattles like a rattlesnake, you know. This is boom, 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 boom. It's always on full capacity, ongoing. You know that? It's good when you sleep. And if you can sleep without dreaming, you know, that'd be the best. You ever dream? I find dreaming a nuisance, you know, because you don't really get a good sleep when you dream, you know. But anyway, sometimes, okay, we better go on here. the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was the pit. Follow me? That was the pit. That's where we were in. We were in the place of wrath, the wrath of God. Now, then he goes on. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. That's a terrible situation, dead in sins. There's no movement there at all. You can't do anything. Yep. And hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Dead in sins. Just think for a moment. You know, how many people do you think that they're going to heaven because of good works? Most people that have a Bible, that believe in God, they do believe that through some good works, they'll enter heaven someday. I never forget, I first get to the Netherlands and I visit some folks, actually a man wasn't of age, I would say, a high age perhaps, it was in the 90s, and talking to him about the Lord Jesus, and he said, and I won't say what it was, but the one that leads the church, he said, says that I likely will make it. Well, that's a poor proposition as far as I'm concerned. That I wouldn't want to stand that chance, see? And so, anyway, we think like on that one, I believe. So even we were dead in sins, as quickened us together. I'll back up to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. But here, don't forget that there's three words. Dead in sins. Dead in sins. Dead betekent means there's no movement. Every once in a while you hear Dutch words, so don't pay any attention to that, because you'll have to have your dictionary ready. But so, has quickened us together with Christ. Quickened together, quickened, made alive with Christ. By grace you're saved. And has raised us up together. And here is the crown of this little piece here. And made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Made us sit in Christ. Hey, is there anyone that can touch anything in Christ? There's the Lord Jesus. And are you in him? Then you can say, I'm the untouchable. Oh, they can do something to the body, but they can't do anything to the soul and spirit. You know, that's safe and secure in Jesus' arms. What a wonderful thing is that. What the assurance of living. So it's not just a matter of, well, I'm sure you've read this before, and it's not a matter of, so did you know this before? No. It's living this, because this is faith. This is by faith. Well, that's what he says after this, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he says it, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. See? Well, that's great. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And it, you know, it gives you right an answer there. Man loves to boast. Man loves to boast. See what I've done? See what I've done? What do you think of that? Yeah, tremendous, eh? Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah, boast a little more. Yeah. You stick your, you know, the. I remember my dad used to do that, you know, he had, years ago they wore a vest. I have a suit with a vest. And then you can stick your thumbs behind that, you know, and you come like this. You see? Sometimes they stood like that, eh? So, boast. That's boasting. Eh? Now, the thing is, if what we do is not of faith, it's boasting. It's one or the other. It's faith of its boasting. It's faith of its work. Well, work and boasting, they go together, you know. Faith and boasting. Or faith and is the opposite of works, and works and boasting go together. There you are. Well, I don't want to boast. What should I boast of? Just supposing that I want to boast. What am I going to boast of? Who I am? Well, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. So what do you boast there? Well, that's not very much. A boast of what I've done. I can tell you that. I failed. On every hand, I failed. And can I boast of that? Well, if you're going to boast, just supposing, here are two boxes. Let's take boxes. Here's two boxes. Then the Bible talks about boxing, eh? And here are two guys, they're boxing. And one keels over and is knocked over. And finally, the other one has gone out, and the loser gets up and he says, "See what I've done?" Well, I think he would have a crowd laughing at him, wouldn't he? You know. Well, and do we have a crowd laughing at us? Well, no, we're not going to laugh at them, because that doesn't help any. But it's laughable when we boast of the things we cannot do. If I have something to do and I can't do it, and I'm boasting over the thing that I can do, isn't that some foolish? So even as a Christian, boasting of something we haven't done and can do, that's a pretty foolish thing, you know. But it's all of grace. By grace are you saved, but that's not all. We live by grace. Every moment of the day, every moment of the year is living by grace. I've been saved now for quite a long time. That was back in 1970, the 30th of April, also our wedding day, but not the first. And it's been all grace since. And I've often thought, wonder what's going to happen now? Well, more grace, more grace. More of his love, more of his grace. That's what God gives us. So it's pretty nice, isn't it? It's really quite special when we have the Word of God and we can see what he says. And look, we'll read a little bit further, well, because we're not quite done with this. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. You see that? Workmanship. God is working. He's forming. What is a form? What happens in your and my life? I'll tell you what happens. The Lord Jesus Christ is being formed in you. What a job, eh? What a job. He's formed in you. Oh, but then I better have a cleanup first. Well, he's already done that. But now he's going to form him in there, so that it'll be all the Lord Jesus and nothing co. Well, I tell you that's a big job. I don't understand a bit of it, how he can get that done. That is far above our thinking. That's far above my prayers. That is just something I cannot have a look at and say, oh, yeah, I'm there. No. He's still working on me to make me what he ought to be. Yeah. The work? It's a big work, isn't it? Oh, it's a big work. Okay. So I think you believe it all, but maybe not. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created. Look how he says these things. Created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Walking? Oh, well, it has to be his walk. Now, he works that out in the latter chapters here. But that walking, walk with the Lord in the light of his word. You know, there's only one way, and that is to be in the word and to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. So you walk right through with God, hand in hand, through the Word of God, and so that we should walk in them. Now, I'm going to back up for since we've gotten all this, I want to back up a few verses. And what is his purpose in this all? What is his purpose? Well, go back with me and I'll read verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is your place? Sitting at the right hand of God, because the Lord Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and so we're sitting at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says in verse 7 that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He has got a real purpose, hasn't he? That in the ages to come, it's not just now, not for now, and say, well, after a bit we're going to heaven and then everything is over. Oh, no. People think that when we go to heaven, we're going to sit there and play a harp and I don't know what, all kinds of other things, sit in the cloud and play a harp. Well, I really don't think that's the case. Here, scriptures give us an entirely different thing on that, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. God has a definite plan, not only for here and now, but for the days to come, for eternity. It's not just, okay, well, now you're going to go to heaven and then you're delivered. No. No. It's a life, an eternal life. We say that we have eternal life, but quite often it is the thought from, you know, I know I'm going to heaven. Yeah, well, that's all right. But no, we have God as a whole purpose. A whole purpose. And what is the purpose? It spans through all of eternity. All of eternity. God is working, and he's working on that now. It's not that he says, well, I'll take care of that when you get there. No, he's working on that now. And that we may enjoy now the presence of God, and that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. That, and what is that? That's in the ages to come. See, we read that. So, for by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For all that God is doing here now has the view of eternity. In eternity, it's not that you say, well, wonder what we're going to do in eternity. Some people think that it's going to be kind of boring. Nothing is less true than that. There's nothing boring about it. We're going to be busy souls. We get a new body, and so the old body is going to be renewed. And but God has an eternal purpose for you and me there. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. But I'm still here. And then I can see and say, he's still working on me to make me what they ought to be. God is working on that. Now, just supposing you get up this morning and say, oh, what a dreadful day this is. Oh, the sun doesn't shine, and I've got to go here, and I've got to do that. And I got to load wood, and I've got to put wood in, Joan. You know, that's going to be the real story. So I've got to go to work, and she's doesn't look very good. You know, I think it's going to rain, it's going to snow, it's going to, you know, people are always so optimistic in their life, eh? It's always going to do something that now. Anyway, what a difference it is if we think a new day with the Lord. A new day, God is going to take care of, he's going to guide me and lead me and see what he's going to do today with me, in me. Oh, And then you, oh yeah, he's going to do big work there. Yeah. And then just when you go up a little bit, you know, you ever have this little flounder, you know, and you go up a little bit and you say, so this is lovely, you know. Then you find out something that's not so good, and oh Lord, now I've got to confess my sin. You know, it's a dirty troop then, eh? The dirty troop. You ever have a dirty troop? Yeah, you like a dirty troop? Is your house clean? I can't stand any dirt and dust and all that. Now, God wants his house. This is his house. This is not, you know, sometimes people got to, I remember Ronald was with us once, and we went to see buildings, and one of them was a big church building, real old. You have them in the Netherlands, they're real old. And this man was growling because he said, you don't just walk in God's house, in my house. Now, he called his house, that's right. Oh, Ronald says, I thought it was God's house. Now, see, this is a building. I really enjoy it. I enjoy singing here, enjoy speaking here, enjoy just simply being here, because it has something. But it's a material building. You and I are the house of God. See, that's, and if we think of that, then we think of the fact that God has an eternal purpose for you and I. An eternal purpose. Well, that's something, isn't it? That God has an eternal purpose for you. And here we come up against things and we say, well, how are we going to handle that? I don't know what to do with that. I don't want to do with that. Yeah. Oh, there's so many difficulties in life, you know. And if we all add them up, we say, you know, ever seen that fellow that comes home and he goes, there was a cartoon once. I'm not much for cartoons, but there was a cartoon once. This man comes home and from work, and there he is. He just enters the house, and the door goes open, and he has a great big dog, and the dog jumps on him, and he falls over and says, happy home, you know. So, but this is God's house. And if I'm aware of the fact that God lives here, that makes an entirely, after preaching quite a few years now, you see people, for instance, coming into what we call a church building, when they come in. And then they come in an entirely different binnen, binnen is a Dutch word. Some of them pick that up, but I might as well tell you, and then they can smile at it. So, but sometimes you see people coming in, and they come in like this, you know. They must be the real McCoy, you know, because they come in and because they come into the church, into the house of God, and they're very sincere. But are they alive? No, they're not alive. No. I would almost be ready to say they're dead as a doornail. You know, there's no life in them. But they are so sincere. But however sincere you are, that's not going to get you into heaven. See, I've been to, we've been to revival meetings. And some people say, well, that's great, isn't it? That's nice, isn't it? You think it is? Yes, it is afterwards. But it's not while you're in them. Why not? Well, when you get in them, you're nailed down there confessing sin. Confessing sin. I don't know how you do that about confessing sin, but I'll tell you that was confessing sin when we were there. Now, that's the way through life. If you want to have a revival, that means, you know, you have it all the time, then all the time you've got to be confessing sin. And we have looked at faith, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And now, you like to clean up, let's say, your house, or your yard, or whatever you have around you. You like to clean it up. Why? It looks a lot neater. doesn't it? That's why you do it. Maybe you enjoy that and it's neat. But how does God want this life of mine? How does he want that? Does he want that clean? Or does he want a mess in it? I'm having a mess. And I can't even clean it up. But God can clean it up. And he's the only one that can clean it up. So how does he do that? I confess my sin. I get then you get real small. You get real little. And then, oh God. And there comes out. Is there anything there to confess? I can't think of a day that I didn't have something to confess. The only thing is, I can't say that I confessed every day. You know? But there's always something there, you know. Oh, God. God is so wonderful. God is so great. God is so loving. God is so kind. And I want to just walk with the Lord in the light of his word. That every day with Jesus is better than the day before. You know, that's what God wants. I don't think God is not. I think there's a little bit of thought sometimes, maybe not directly exactly as how I say it, but sometimes God is looked upon as a slave driver. Oh, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. No. He does everything for our good. Unbelievable, because we don't understand that, because we don't know that, because there's no one that ever has come to you and says, I want to do everything for your good. After 60 years, I can't say that to my wife. I can't say that I always want to do everything for her good. I do it, but then I would be good, and there's no good there. It's got to be the Lord Jesus that does it. It's got to be the working of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit has to have the freedom. And the freedom is when I have confessed my sin. There's the freedom. That's the life of the Lord Jesus. Free of all the rest. And what a life that is. What a life. It's a special life, you know. And it's a life, and it's not only a life, but it's also an overflowing life. An overflowing life means that others are benefiting from the fact that you're free. Free, praise the Lord, free at last. You know what a great thing it is to be free. He's a preacher now up in Tarimagus, that's Barry Beebe. Ever heard of him? Okay. Now, Barry and I, when he was preacher in Amherst, and I was in Milford, and we went together to the penitentiary in
Spring Hill.
Yeah, there we've been there too, Dorchester. And there you go in, and it's probably the place where you walk might be almost as high as this here, and the gates were that high too, and we got in, and the door clunk behind us. I said to Barry, are you realizing we're in here? And then the next thing was a gate, a big gate. Now you can look through it, but the gate went open, and we went through. Clunk, gate closed. Barry, you think we're going to get out of here again? You know? And then we went. I'm not sure, I can't remember exactly how many gates we went through. And then, of course, finally we got to the place where we got talked with the person that we came for. And I'll tell you, it's quite an experience just in itself, you know, that you see, I'm somewhere where I just can't get out. And I said, it'll be all grace for you and I to get out again. Now, we did get out, same day even. And I guess they didn't want to stay very long. I do have to think of all of a sudden his name escaped me. The preacher from Ireland. Pardon?
Willie?
Well known? No. No, he's a Presbyterian preacher. He was also in the
Ian
European.
Paisley.
Pardon?
Ian Paisley.
If you ever get something, you a tape or whatever on him, you want to get it. He's got a voice like thunder, and they're angry with him. He's also in Parliament, and they were prayer because Perry Rockwood went there, and he told me the whole story about it, and that's great to listen to Perry Rockwood. And then on the one hand, but he said he was there, and Perry of Ian Paisley was in jail they put him in prison for 30 days. And he preached through the book of Romans. That whole jail must have heard it. You know, you can't get away from that. And what a book to preach out of in jail. I think that'd be just worth it, you know. And like I said, he had a voice. Oh, man, he must have gone through every corner. So I'm sure after 30 days they were glad to get rid of him. But, you know, it's wonderful to simply preach the word, and okay, people can get out. I've preached in jail, and I've always enjoyed it because people are there, they're a captive audience, and it's great to see them there, you know, and people got saved there. People got saved. Why? Because they know. They know they're sinners. I did. You didn't have to spend all your time explaining to them that they were sinners, you know, and isn't that something? Actually, it would be good. No, it wouldn't be good, of course. But if you could have everybody in jail for a little bit and then preach to them, then they would be a captive audience, and they would think entirely different. They would think entirely different because I've been on my knees with boys in jail, and they came out and they were saved. And you know, it's great to see that. It's great to be saved, and it's great to see others getting saved. And I love to tell them what the Lord Jesus has done for them. So we better go on here because now here is something. We look at creation. So you're living here in a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country. And I love this. Last night, Murphy took us on the holy tour. And it's just great country, you know. We looked at over the mountains and the woods, and what a country, God's country. And you look a little bit up, and you see there the glory of God through all the clouds, and how beautiful they move, and how they change from white and little gray and little then blue, and oh. It's unbelievable that great God will live in my heart. It's just unexplainable. There is no way of explaining that. But that you're His creature in Christ Jesus with a new life. And boys, it's worth living. It's not always easy. I didn't say that, because we have a world around us, and we don't find it easy. And just when I say we don't worry about the thing, you know, then all of a sudden I think, Monday we're flying out, and then we have a whole night flying, and I got a lady alongside of me, and I love her, and she says, oh, Cole, this is a long night, yeah, a long night. The nights are always long, especially if you can't sleep, eh? So you know how easy it is to think about something. We say, well, we're not worried. No, we're not worried. But you are worrying. Why not just tell God, I'm worrying? Will you take the worry away? Now, you asked just a minute ago, Lord, what's going on here? Will you help me? Okay, well, take worry away. Do you ever worry? No, we're fine Christians, we don't worry. We're liars too. No, worry. It's a bad word, isn't it, worry? Yeah. Now look at what the next verse says here. We're at verse 10. Not of works, lest any man should boast, that's verse 9. Now I think we can get by that for now. For we are his workmanship. Need our workmanship. Now look at the beautiful country that he made here. He created. And now he says he created in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. See that? Where are you? In Christ Jesus. And he's creating there to form there something that comes from his almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing hand. He is making something there that he knows, that he knows he keeps, that he knows he can do live. He knows that he can give this one peace, because he has made peace through the blood of the cross. He gave peace. You can live at home and have peace. You can come here and have peace and know that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's continually with you, and he wants to undertake for you and carry you all the way, all the way, all the way. The Lord Jesus leads all the way. And then maybe we should close. I'd like to go on for another couple of hours, but people may fall asleep by that time. I think it's midnight or something, you know. You know what happened. It's a good thing we didn't. We have no. We're sitting, not sitting in the windows. I wouldn't want anybody to fall out. Paul was preaching long too, so he was long-winded too. And then probably somebody have told him that too. But it's so great to know that the Lord Jesus will take care of you, and also so. You remember to pray for us, we will remember to pray for you. And when we are separated here in a little time yet, tomorrow we're pulling out towards Dartmouth. But at the same time, God will take care of you. You got that? God will take care of you. I can't take care of you. I would like to, but it wouldn't do you any good if I did. You know, you wouldn't be benefited by it. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. God will go, and he does what he is planning to. See? His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto. He does that. And if I'm going to do good works, as sure as I'm sitting here, they'll fall by the wayside. It won't do any good. You know, it's really difficult sometimes when we've gone to those places, and I don't pay much attention now, but when you're younger preacher, and people say, and now we are going to hear, and then you get the name, and you know, if they're going to tell your name and they connect it with somebody, you should be a real good preacher and stuff like that. Well, that's nonsense. There's no one, I don't know any preacher in the whole wide world, and I know enough of them, but I don't know any preacher that is worth exalting. There's not one, wherever they are, there's missionaries going out into this world, and I admire them and all the rest of it, but better not put them up, because all they can do is fall down. And there's those that put themselves up and say, "Guys, look what I am." All they can do is, I've been in places where there was a lot of people and spoken there or preached in some of the churches there in the Netherlands, and then it doesn't take much to get 500 people there. I am just as happy here tonight with a table just around the table as that I am anywhere else preaching. I'll be glad there too. Not saying that. I like to see the people come to know the Lord Jesus. But if you say, well, isn't that something for you? Yeah, wherever the Lord wants me is good. But I've really enjoyed my time here in teaching, preaching. I can only say I trust God will use it. Father, we thank you so much that it's all in thine hand. God, thou art so good, so infinite good, so wonderfully good, so loving, so kind, that we may continually see this and have our eyes fixed on the Savior, the Lord Jesus, because there's no one like him. We pray, Lord, thy direction for each one personally. to be filled with all the fullness of Christ. None of ourselves, Lord. Remind us that in me, that is in the flesh, is no good thing, but that by faith we may trust in the living God, the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. We thank thee, Father, for this time together and for the times we've had here. We want to thank thee. It's so great to have been here. And we don't know, Lord, what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. And we want to thank thee for that. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Mm-hmm.